yo, what up, this is Keith Murray, and you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest, where you get all the real hip hop, where the culture is being sustained, exclusives all day long, haters, be here, suck it, digest that.
I just can't understand how we as black people start eating hot watermelon in the closet. You know, it makes me feel so bad sometimes when I see my black brothers and sisters, and they'll take a big pretty watermelon like this and cut all the guts out that good watermelon and mix it up and mess it up with something else. Man, sometimes they got a notion to put liquor in it, and then after they cut them little crevices in it, then put it back inside of that hub. Man, that's a waste of watermelon when all you got to do with it is pick it up like it's here. Look here, just pick it up like it's here.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, Ezo Grigio. What's up, brothers?
What's good?
Grigio, are you fine wine or are you something else today?
Well, as you know, it is weed week out here in Los Angeles,
oh,
California.
Oh, yeah, 420, so, that's right.
Yesterday was 420.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got some adventures? What's good?
Nah, keep it rolling, B.
You're not trying.
And I don't mean that literally.
You're not trying tail.
All right.
Hey, look, this is not counting the amount, my nigga.
Okay.
Medicinal purposes only.
Nigga,
I got cataracts, motherfucker. What you talking about?
I got one motherfucking prescription, nigga.
Prescriptions. It's prescriptions out here, bitch.
All right, that's what's good. So, are we going to get in then?
Let's get in, sir.
Let's go.
First topic on hip-hop.
What is it, though?
Oh, what is what?
It's recording night.
Happy recording day.
Oh, damn. You forgot to say happy recording day.
I don't say that every week. In any case, since we are recording, let's get into the first topic. First topic on the Hip-Hop Digest is... obviously, the Kendrick Lamar LP is the topic, I guess, that kind of everybody, or at least anti-Aubrey people, are talking about. And let's talk about the new LP.
Damn.
So I'll start it off. My impressions are from a technical standpoint. That's kind of going to be a theme throughout the show. Technically, I thought the album was mixed horribly.
Wow.
I just uneven levels. It's just the mix not good. And I see why it's mixed unevenly, because they sort of are doing a range of frequencies. They're appealing to Aubrey niggas. They're appealing to heavy bass niggas, you know, maybe trap, I guess. They're appealing to syrup heads, you know. So you got a range of emotions and a range of textures in the LP that makes it very difficult to mix going from track to track. So that's just my first impression from
a technical standpoint. Don't forget about the heads, the hip-hop heads, the backpackers.
Well, they're in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, for sure.
There's a couple in there.
Yeah, they're in there for sure. But I just thought the album technically was mixed bad. So.
Okay. For me, first let me go back to the story of that track that my son wanted me to listen to.
Oh yes.
Yeah, let me go back. Let me go way back.
Let's go back in the way back machine. Yeah, so set the story.
I was on the show, y'all know how I felt about that shit. He wanted me to listen to it, hit me with the text, and I was like, okay, all right. I really didn't want to hear it, because I'm like, but if somebody prodded me to listen to something, I really don't want to hear it, because it's probably gonna be some garbage. But he told me to listen to it. I didn't want to listen, but after the show that day, King Killer made me listen. So I went in the other room, and we went in there and we listened to the damn song. I heard it. I said, oh, I didn't say this to Keller because I told him I'll save my opinion for the show. I said, oh, okay. The shit's all right. I actually like this shit. The joint was flavor to me. I really did like the track. The Humble joint was all right.
All right. So, the single, Humble.
The single. Yeah. All right. The single Humble joint was hot. I said, okay. I told my son, I said, yeah, that joint is right. So I did hit him back and let him know. So anyway, let's come up to the album. The first two tracks, not the Blood joint, which is off the top, which is he's talking about a wild ass story about the blind lady. killing him. But then in the next track, the DNA joint is crazy. You can't handle weak ass speakers with that shit. That DNA joint is ridiculous.
No doubt.
The bottom is stupid. Got heavy, heavy ass on that track. And then after that, the next track, I was like, okay, this nigga's going in. Then I'm starting to see the theme. Like, okay, he's got a single words, and I'm going to humble feel all these different songs on here. I'm like, okay, he's got a theme going with this shit. Yeah, I was dense on it real quick. I didn't catch on to a second because I'm just listening to the joint. This guy in the whip listening. I'm like, okay. I see the theme going in his flavor. So the theme matches the tracks to me. How he's going with it, and he's wilding out a little bit. But overall, I give him a B on the album myself. I thought he gave the head some shit, especially that Duckworth joint at the end was crazy.
Oh, that's
the way he flipped the beats in there. That was boom bap hip hop to me.
But that's my favorite track. I mean, that's going to be an obvious.
Right. You know? It's boom bap to me. I was like, okay, he got some joints. He got a couple other joints in there. I actually like the Loyalty joint with Rihanna. I was like, okay, that one's okay. Just kept Riri in the pocket. She didn't get way out of pocket on that shit.
Yo, real talk though, that U2 shit whack though. Yo, I'm you know, but see, that's just a product of major, and I know he's not on a major, but he's on a quasi major. That's major label excess.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it is. He didn't need Rihanna.
He didn't need you two neither.
No, he didn't need them. He didn't need none of them. He could have done completely solo the whole thing.
Swerving, what's good?
Well, I got to be honest. It's like hard for me to listen to the young dude's album when it first comes out because of all the hype. I don't want my brain to be stuck with what the hype is saying, right? So I backed off for a couple of days and then I listened to it. And again, I think it's a good album. I give it a B as well, Kurt. A B, just not a B plus or minus, just a B. But it's just because it's all over the place. Because you said the theme, it is kind of all over the place, but it does what it does. But the song Feel, I think I'll never stop playing that record ever.
Wow.
Duckworth is definitely dope, but the words and what he's talking about and Feel, yo, it's like one of them songs that come along in your life that just stick to you, and that got me like that.
Well, so, to me, let me add to this, to your story. Hey, he's a great storyteller. He is. He doesn't get credit for that. He's a great storyteller. Because even on Duckworth, it's a story about his father and the kid that's Top Dog. So it's just how they connect it. So I said, okay, he's a great storyteller. I give that.
Well, that's the thing about Kendrick, which makes him infinitely more interesting than anything Arbery and a lot of these other commercial niggas is doing. So he's really head and shoulders above, you know, of his generation. He's winning the commercial rap world by a long shot. Okay, and this isn't even coming from an anti-Arbery cat, which I am, but this is clear. Now for me, I have to separate the albums. I'm like you guys, you know, lyrics, what he presents, Kendrick himself, B plus. Okay, again, sonically, I'm gonna C minus that shit, because again, with these albums and the placement, you gotta sonically appeal to a lot of different people. So, I mean, that's where I'm giving to him. Like I said, he tried to appeal to everybody, which is a noble cause. I mean, you know, I think he's a strong enough lyrics where he can just pick something. That, to me, Pimp a Butterfly was like that. I'm gonna pick this path, I'm going, and fuck y'all niggas if you don't like it. So.
And so that brings up a point. What I mean, like, can't judge him against his peers. I have to judge his albums against his other music. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's going to get judged by, you have to judge him by his peers. I mean,
but that's by default. He's way better than him. So it's not even, if we do that, then he's automatically getting an A if we do that.
Well, I think okay, that's what I mean. Yes, I agree with you. And the reason why he's better than them, I think sonically he's willing to take chances. You're way better than J. Cole will take chances. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, J. Cole is sort of the everyman rapper. It's amazing to me that he's even a star. But again, I think that's more of just anti-Arbery and anybody who's fucking with Arbery or Future or any of that other horse shit. You know? So... That's what's up. Shout out to Kendrick. You know, no doubt. Good job. Anyway.
Yes, good job.
So, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Cash Money Records is getting taken to court over missing Aubrey Drake profits. It's no secret that Cash Money Records is in a financial mess. A new lawsuit from a group called Aspire Music alleging non-payment of Drake-related royalties. So this company, Aspire Music, said they signed a deal with Aubrey back in 2008 that allowed this particular company to Drake to record with Cash Money in exchange for a third of his profits over the next six albums.
Wow.
Which, I don't know what that shit's all about. I'm not a music lawyer. And one third of the copyright of the master recordings. So they're in deep. I mean, don't get me wrong. Drake's got plenty of money. So, you know, I don't even know if he misses it. Aspire also claims and filed a $10 million lawsuit between Drake and Cash Money and said that Cash Money stole up to $4 million of their dollars. And so, they're suing.
So he stole it. Did he steal it from Drake or he stole it from them?
Aspire Music is basically saying that if you look at the total payout, we were owed X amount of dollars, okay? We didn't get it because we own a certain amount, a percentage of Drake albums sold as well as the copyright. We own a percentage. We didn't get it. That's nothing different than anybody else who's saying, yo, Birdman owe us money and we not getting it. Now, between this Jay Prince shit, this Aspire Music lawsuit, at some point in time in the future, your boy's gonna fold. Birdman ain't like that. I mean, he's like that now. He looks Teflon, but at some point he's gonna fold. Yo, let me ask you a question, Swerve. Dad, when you worked at the RIAA, did they usually get involved in disputes versus label via artist or any copyright entity?
Almost my entire existence in that RIAA was about catching people stealing music. That was the gist of what was cracking. Not who was beefing with who or artist label, none of that.
Okay.
It was primarily stopping digital downloading of shit illegally.
Y'all was after Napster.
Napster pack, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I tell you what, let's just do some quick history, man. I remember when Birdman signed that deal, yo, and Universal shot them niggas $30 million.
I remember that.
That was a great deal for Universal, thinking about it now, as far as how much money they have actually brought in.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. And I wonder if Universal is still getting money off of that Nicki Minaj Drake cut.
Probably.
So...
Well, you know the bigwig's gonna get theirs.
Oh, I bet you he ain't gonna rob them niggas.
Oh well,
he's not robbing them.
See, they get the money first, and then they give it to him.
The Birdman,
right?
Birdman, you get your cut after we get ours.
Right? Would you do with your shit? I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? So
you're under us,
no doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Mellow Music founder Michael Tolley dispels the bullshit myth of overnight success. Barely people are now noticing Mellow Music Group, and a couple of people have been chiming in. I'm not going to name those Dick Ride blogs are coming in that all of a sudden Mellow Music Group hasn't been out there grinding. They just, you know, now Mellow Music Group is making noise. Kurt G, I know you got something to say about that.
Well, Mellow Music Group has been doing the thing. They are the equivalent of a Fat Beats Online. As far as underground music.
Right.
Yeah.
Your boy, he goes on and his statement was, he said, a lot of our best artists sold near nothing of their first albums. Even the ones that are considered classics only sold a few hundred copies. He was like, we have been grinding, the whole time. So it's not like we're an overnight success. And you think about Mellow Music Group and one particular joint comes to mind, which is true. The word classic is overused. It right. really is, but I believe that OC and Apollo Brown Trophies is a true, true hip-hop yes, classic sir. From Mellow Music Group. And again, of course, a bevy of albums from Odyssey and everybody else is on. Shout out to Mellow Music Group. I just, it's just funny to me when you a company like Mellow Music Group or a situation like Fat Beats or Stone's Throw and they get any type of commercial success, everybody who's in commercial rap want to look around and be like, where the fuck these niggas come from? Oh, these niggas think they doing something. You know.
You wasn't paying attention.
There
nigga.
You go. There right. you go. And we've been pumping Mellow Music Group really since the beginning. So I'm going to definitely give a shout out to them. No doubt. Next topic going to Hip Hop Digest. Vince Staples says all these battles, all these so-called rap battles are whack. Said Nicki versus Remy, corny. Ice Cube NWA, corny. Jay-Z Nas, corny. They were all corny. He was getting interviewed by your boy Torre, and he said that he shared his belief that all rap battles are corny. And then your boy Torre basically asked him, isn't this a part of hip-hop that the fans love? It's a traditional part of hip-hop. And your boy Vince Staples with his smart ass, I ain't gonna book no studio time just to talk about you. Just a typical dumb, young, smart, dumb, young opinion, you know.
I bet you can't say that again.
The typical smart, dumb, young opinion.
He said, now, take that.
I guess, you know, every time I hear Vince Staples open his mouth, I'm like, yo, in 10 years, he's going to regret 90% of the shit that's coming out of his mouth because he doesn't have the age or the history or the gravitas. I mean, he's very smart and he's very quick on his feet and it makes him very entertaining. And I've seen him, matter of fact, is the only one. He's the only one because most MCs of his generation cannot defend themselves against older generation who putting him to task. But he's very quick on his feet, but he doesn't have the history. And he's a guy and he's making music and he's very successful at what he does. But god damn, yo, every time he opened his mouth, I'm like, damn, nigga, you the dumbest motherfucker, but you the smartest motherfucker. How do you get like that, man?
Oxymoron.
Dumbass smart nigga.
I'm just saying. You know, you think he would take the time to sit back and to study some shit. I mean, I don't know. It's a shame you got Pete Rock on a panel. Damn, apologizing, talking about teach me about this trap shit. Now, Pete Rock, you don't need to know about that trap shit, my nigga.
Well, that's not true. You need to know about it, but you ain't gotta.
You ain't gotta love it.
Because right. It is hip hop. I mean, you know, it's a part of hip hop. We have to add that in until they finally, you know, annex themselves.
It's a part of hip hop, and people want to say that, but I think it's really an exploited part of commercial hip hop. Okay, I'm gonna pigeonhole that to death because without trap, you don't get the exploitation of said art that you get now.
Right.
Everything.
It's never been like this in any era. It has never been to the point where it is like right now. Mundane.
Right. So, what's up? That's your boy, Kurt G's, Vince Staples.
About him, he might just really, as you said, smart, dumb nigga. He might be one of them dudes who just, I ain't gonna put him on the full Dennis Rodman, but somebody who just want, when that microphone get in their face, like, oh, let me shine for a second and be, what's the word? Different or whatever.
Outlandish.
That's the word.
Oh, yeah, he's smart enough. He's smart enough because, like I said, he already knows that older men and women in hip hop are likely coming from a point of love. So he's jaded already enough in the industry to say, I'm going to poke the bear with these niggas because they love it. I don't necessarily love it. I'm fucking doing it because I can do it. But fuck it. If somebody gave me $1 million to fucking juggle fucking tennis balls, I'll do that instead of rap. And that's how he comes off. You know what I mean?
Damn.
These nuts.
I'm just saying. I'm just being dead ass. The more I hear from that nigga, and I'm like, yo, nigga, you rhyming because you can, you know, and you're successful at it. But again, like I said, if a motherfucker said, look, nigga, I'm gonna give you fucking $2 million. You stand on the corner and sell oranges. He'll do it. You know
what that cop say on Boys in the Hood? I hate you.
I don't hate the cat. I'm just saying. I think he's.
I tell you what, he pokes the shit out of you though, B.
Yo, he
every
does.
Every time he says something, you one of the people he pokes.
He does. He does. He certainly does. And again, like I said, that makes him very perceptive because again, I'm coming mostly from a point of love, and every time he opened his mouth and shit, you know what I mean? I just want to stick a fucking sock in that shit.
So, stick a dirty gym sock in there.
You know, damn.
Toe jam, nigga.
But again, but I suspect in 10 years, he's going to take back or double back on a lot of shit that he says, because in 10 years, he'll be the veteran defending and saying to himself, God damn, when I was young and dumb, I said a lot of this dumb shit. So,
oh, he could be one of them niggas with just a big enough ego to just double down and back up what he said.
That motherfucker would be juggling tennis balls by then. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is legendary radio DJ Stretch and Bobbito teaming up for a new NPR podcast. Said the NPR basically shooting them money, giving them a budget. You can see them in a 2015 documentary, Radio That Changed Lives. They're going to talk about hip-hop, art, politics, and sports. I just want to give a shout-out to them.
That's going to be a pretty good show.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, they have enough history in the game where the knowledge that's going to get dropped is incredible, you know. And we, this day and age, could use all the knowledge we can get. So, definitely shout-out to them. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Charlamagne tells Lil Yachty, you're a whack rapper. Now, check this out. The thing about this is one of the few times you're going to hear on commercial radio a back and forth, but, you know, a clairvoyant thing. Charlamagne the God is basically on the New York radio, and they're talking to Yachty. And of course, you know, 99% of the fucking interview is patting him on his back and shit. You know what I mean? That type of rubbing his back and shit and giving him all kinds of props for his success. But your boy Charlamagne is like, yo, son, you come from the tree of, what's that, Trinidad James. And then your boy Yachty was like, yo, that seems like that's not complimentary of me and shit, you know? I'm not Trinidad James. I'm me. I'm the king. I do teen shit. But, of course, then they questioned him about that song with him and Amigos, some club song and shit. You know, the typical, I'm fucking bitches and bitches, that type of shit. I don't get it. Are we ever going to, when is somebody just going to fucking straight out? And, you know, and Charlamagne came the closest. You don't rhyme well, my nigga. Even though Yachty admits that he doesn't rhyme well. But I guess you can't say the music isn't good because somebody likes it.
First of all, Charlamagne saying that shit is like, duh. Yeah, nigga, he's whack. How many niggas we already know this? So, but what was the reason behind him even saying that to him? First of all, because you know how Charlamagne is.
I don't think that Charlamagne was even really poking the bear. I just think he had a moment of clairvoyance and kind of said that shit.
I don't give him that much credit.
Oh. Yo, come on, B. Yo, Charlamagne ran under that tree that he's talking about and picked the lowest fucking hanging fruit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that ain't, he didn't say nothing that nobody don't already know.
But you can't, I guess what I'm saying, what's the end game here? I guess Charlamagne's not going to bum rush the program director at his station and be like, yo, we need to take all the Yachty shit off. We need to take a lot of that other shit off.
And that nigga be out of a job. He won't have anywhere to work. He'll be one of the Dick Ride blogs out here. Is what he'll be. He'll be the new owner of a Dick Ride blog. Charlamagne the blog. Exactly.
Fresh Dick Ride blog. Damn.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on that, yo. I just, yeah, I mean, I'm other than Funk Flex, who's now getting paid to disc guys like Aubrey, you know. I mean, that's the new shtick. I mean, and Aubrey and them are big enough and it's not gonna affect their bottom line because the people who listen to Funk Flex don't listen to Aubrey, so who is it target to is not going to really hear it. I just wonder if they setting social Charlamagne media up. Huh?
Social media is a beast,
that's
though.
Social media, though.
B, they make that announcement Funk Flex doesn't think Drake is a top five MC. First of all, Drake's not even an MC, and Yachty really doesn't matter. So like you said, I don't know that why you picking up, like, yeah, you're right, the lowest hanging fruit, without just saying you have a culture of music that we pump on this station on a regular that really doesn't embody anything, or very rarely. And I know people will be like, you old fuck, you fucking fucked, how can you say that about the music I love?
Right, I get where you're going with it, and I understand. Like you said earlier, B, it's coming from a place of love, and you want one of these damn radio station personalities to become you for a day, and actually just go after all of these motherfuckers and decide to shut this shit down.
B, look, with the full well knowledge, know that again, I only want, I mean, I try to say this on each show, I only want the separation, you know? I mean, fuck it, you know, call me George Wallace. You know, I want segregation. I want motherfuckers to really be honest with what we playing on your local Hot or your local Kiss or your local whatever station in any city USA. A gang of this commercial shit is not fucking hip hop. I don't give a fuck. I know major labels market it as that. I know every time you see some young nigga on the stage with a mic in his hand, it's rap, but it's not. That's all I want. My job is not to change the mind of a 17-year-old girl who loves Aubrey. That's not going to happen. My daughter is 19. She loves Nicki Minaj. I'm not never ever going to change. My job is not to change. It's just to change the label.
But see, that's where the problem is at. It's actually changing the label. So going after Yachty or going after any of these dick ride blogs and going after these nut niggas is basically like a waste of time, because they're just cogs in the wheel.
Right, no doubt.
The machine is who you're trying to get at.
Yes.
You're trying to get at the, right, at the main part of the machine, and them niggas don't give a fuck about us. They don't even know we exist, first off.
That's true.
So, and actually, they're not stopping anything because they're making money off of it. And what if this underground shit was making money, nigga, you'd be hearing Mellow Music be the top selling fucking rap label out there.
Yeah, you're right. So, that's real. That's all I'm doing. So I think a lot of people get me fucked up in the game where I'm going to try. No, I'm serious. Where they like, yo, kill him, you know, he be hitting niggas. But, you know, there's no way I'm going to bring down the commercial rap industry. All I want is a changing of labels. They can continue to be the commercial rap industry and sell you mule piss, and you'll continue to buy it.
Damn.
Mule piss, the greatest drink in the world.
And you'll continue to buy it. That's not my, I don't care about that, but I want them to call it mule piss.
Quench your thirst.
Mm.
So,
well, you're going to be waiting on that. Ain't nobody buying mule piss.
they might be buying it, just ain't called mule piss.
There you go.
You put enough sugar in that
there
shit.
There you go.
Okay.
So, call it lemonade, my nigga.
Call it that. They call that shit caviar.
There you go. All right, next topic, go to Hip Hop Dodge. This is actually more of an announcement. Shout out to the late, great Frankie Knuckles. Frankie Knuckles' record collection fills an entire very large library room. The Frankie Knuckles Foundation is offering fans and DJs alike a sneak peek into the house music pioneer's entire record collection, which now resides at the Thrasher Greats Stony Island Arts Bank in Chicago. Features rows and rows and rows of records, including Frankie's very own material. The guy who's overseeing this whole project says, "We hope to attract world-class DJs, local DJs, those who are the scholars of house, to invite them in and so they can examine the music, study the music, pull out the vinyl, and pump up the music just like Frankie Knuckles would have been." Frankie Knuckles ain't got nothing to do with hip-hop because he's house, but that's all right. My message to you and the Hip Hop Digest family is that, boy, they're taking care of his legacy like they should. Okay, the fact that I don't know if hip-hop is taking care of great record collections legacy. I believe Bambada's records are being taken care of. You know, I'm not sure about Jazzy J or some of these other people, but, you know, if you're ever in Chicago and you want to see a fantastic collection, you might want to roll past Frankie Knuckles situation you will get in education.
I think the equivalent of that may be Dilla. Dilla has people taking care of his stuff pretty
Dilla good. Dilla does have a lot of records, but he has nowhere near a collection of a Bambada.
Not talking about record collection. I mean as far as...
Oh, no, they're taking care of his legacy. Legacy, yes.
Being taken care of.
They're taking care of his legacy, you know. But in the case of Dilla's legacy still generates income. And I'm not saying that Frankie's doesn't, but even if Frankie Knuckles' legacy doesn't generate income, you got people who see him... It's too important, you know.
I think the same for Dilla though, because his mom is behind a lot of this stuff.
Oh no! This is not the slight Dilla. What I'm saying is, when it comes down to rap, it would have to be Dilla, you know, or it would have to be. I mean, I'm assuming that Bambada's record collection is being taken care of, but there are a lot of other guys who have just as important legacies, you know. And I think their collection probably needs to be taken care of. But again, you know, money niggas. Jay-Z, Hov, and them niggas ain't worried about that shit. You know, Diddy and them niggas.
Bottle service, sir.
Yes. What'd you say? Pass the Grey Poupon?
Hey, man. So, next topic. Speaking of Hov, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Damon Dash talks about creating a movie about Rockefeller Records. Dame Dash goes on to say there's a lot of people that didn't see what was really going on behind the scenes. He said a lot of people expect a movie to come out to show you what you already know. Dame Dash is like, why would I make a recreation of what everybody saw? I'm going to make the movie about things that nobody knows about. Is Dame Dash, does he have an axe to grind? And is he going to grind it on a movie?
I don't know if he still has an axe to grind, but you know he loves to make movies.
He's gonna poke the bear. Speaking of poking the bear,
you think it's gonna be a whole lot of behind the scenes unauthorized Jay-Z stuff going on?
I can almost guarantee it. I can almost guarantee. You make a statement like that, what are you gonna show? You know, somebody in there coaching Beans and Freeway really how to rhyme and shit. I mean, that's not interesting. Even if it was true and it wasn't. But what else? When you make a statement like that, what else are you going to gather from that?
It's going to have to be a fictional movie, though, because you think that the other person involved is going to allow that to happen?
BJ can't do anything about
yes,
that.
Yes, he can. If it's a movie.
Oh, about, are you kidding me?
It's about Rockefeller, and it's one of his partners. It's not some, you know what I'm saying? It's not like it was some unauthorized nigga that just did this. It's in the Oliver Stone. Making this shit. This is his partner. So there's got to be some type of a law, or not even a law, some type of repercussion that he could take against him for doing this.
Yo, there is so many movies and so many documentaries out there, flattering and unflattering against a numerous amount of people.
But are they made by the partners?
They're not partners anymore.
And did the person? Did the person care enough to sue?
And Dame Dash can make a movie from his perspective, from Dame Dash's perspective, and we're just speculating, but from Dame Dash, he could come in there and make the movie. Everybody think Jay wonderful, but make Jay look like an asshole. In the same way, the NWA movie, what was your boy? Was that Lonzo?
Right.
How they made Lonzo look like the guy from Purple Rain.
But Lonzo wasn't part of the group.
But still.
Well, who wrote the movie, though, B? Who was the movie about and who wrote it?
The movie was about NWA. But Lonzo came out and was like, yo, I'm very disappointed how they portrayed me. They made me look like the guy from Purple Rain. And I wasn't like that.
He wasn't as mad as your boy, though.
Jerry Heller, exactly.
Jerry Heller was pissed.
And he sued. I'm not saying that Jay can't bring a lawsuit. But I'm telling you, Dame can make a movie from his perspective. And I believe he probably's got an axe to grind, and he's going to make Hov pay the piper.
Hov ain't paying shit.
I mean, not pay, but I mean pay in public discourse.
You're trying to say you're going to put a slight on his public image.
Exactly. Michelle A, same thing. They like, everybody's bigging up Pebbles? NWA. B, whatever. People's bigging up NWA. Dr. Dre's a goddamn wife beater. You know what I mean? Again, TLC, Pebbles and shit. You know? I mean, what the fuck? I mean, yeah, he's going to make that shit from his perspective. Now, again, the thing about it, we'll see what does Kareem Biggs say about it. Hey, number one, if the movie ever gets made, you know Dame Dash likes to talk shit, so just put that caveat out there. First of all, the movie may never even get made.
And is it going to be a movie with characters, or is it going to be like a documentary with live footage?
Oh, knowing Dame Dash, is going to have to be a documentary style, because I don't know if Dame, his name in the industry, I don't know if Dame can get that budget.
Yeah, he has burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Dame can get that budget, so. But anyway, I thought it was very interesting, and I was like, wow, you know, will Jay's ex-partners in the future running have an axe to grind and, you know, doing a dirty up, you want to dirty up his suit a little bit. So that's what's up. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is rest in paradise to Cuba Gooding Sr. The legendary singer was the lead singer of The Main Ingredient. His most notable two biggest hits, Everybody Plays a Fool in 1972, Just Don't Want to Be Lonely in 1974. Obviously, everybody knows his son is Cuba Gooding Jr. in your favorite movie, Boys in the Hood, as well as others.
Show Me the Money.
So we want to say rest in paradise to that gentleman. Actually, as Main Ingredient go, they have been sampled just like any other R&B act from the 70s numerous times. But I remember a while ago finding this out, because I actually have this record. There was a record by The Main Ingredient called The Euphrates River, which turned out to be the baseline for Notorious Big's Things Done Changed. And I just remember discovering that, and I was like, holy shit, this is, you know, obviously Things Done Changed, one of my favorite records. But that baseline off the top is that record. So, you know, go check out Who Sample Who, or whatever that shit's called. Ain't that what that's called?
Yeah, Who Sampled Who.
Who Samples Who, and it'll be up there and shit. So again, rest in paradise to Cuba Gooding Sr., no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the Get Down and the Appropriation of Hip Hop. This comes
get down.
This comes to us from Mr. Lamar. I won't use your whole government, you know. But he says, and I quote, "All I can say is, what the fuck is this shit?" The Get Down, the second part or the second season of The Get Down. He has several other complaints that we'll get into one at a time. But the only thing you can really say about The Get Down is that they totally jumped the shark.
Yeah, them niggas went Fonzie like a motherfucker. Fonzarello.
They went Arthur Fonzarelli like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Straight Potsy Weber on niggas.
Damn.
Yo, son, I'm just saying, again, for me, it's a technical thing. It's a technical, and it will always be technical. I mean, from these niggas with these modern cordless mics at the big shows, I'm looking at this shit, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's 78.
Niggas wasn't rhyming like that in 78.
Oh my God. They totally jumped the shark, just totally professional, you know, modern rhyme flows, you know, shit like that. For me, it's like not the weak storyline, because ultimately the only thing you really hold on to is the semi storyline. But this whole cartoon shit that they were inserting,
what the fuck was that name? Bill Cosby. What's the name of that damn show?
Fat Albert.
That Fat Albert look to that shit.
Anyway, I'm just like, damn, yo, y'all couldn't write this shit where the actors could act this shit out or whatever. But, you know, I mean, you know, that type of shit. I mean, he has several complaints. And one of the, he obviously, he says auto-tune, which I couldn't believe that. The comic book look. And he said all this disco shit. He said the religious zealot preacher. And the Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out. So there's a lot of things going on here. Obviously,
he said aliens are gay.
Yeah, you know, Will Smith's son, you know, he doing his thing.
Damn.
You know, Jive coming out or whatever, you know. And wow. Then when your boy, the DJ, discovered, you know, that he laying up with that dude, he's like, look, you ain't even got to sweat it. I got you. I'm going to hold you down. So you got that. One thing, though, I am going to educate here is when he says all this disco shit. Now, this is...
That's the only thing that's correct to the time.
That's the only thing. Because hip-hop is a direct product of disco, and it's a direct product of the disco times. Without disco and modern post 79 type disco, or even pre then, you don't have hip hop, because it was disco niggas who created the 12 inch record. It was disco niggas for the most part who created not modern mixing techniques the way that Flash was doing it, but just modern techniques in mixing, the technology of mixing. It was that type of shit. It was the Paradise Garage of Studio 54, Richard Long systems, you know, handcrafted mixers and shit. I mean, you only got that, those in huge clubs. I mean, hell, as it was, Flash had to make his own mixer. So,
that's it. It was a lot of disco records that niggas was rhyming over.
Oh my goodness, yes, there's no question about that.
Chic.
So, oh well, I mean, obviously, you know, that's probably the biggest one. But all of the West End records that they were cutting up Sesamado, everything on Prelude Records, these were all disco labels. So, all that disco shit, I'm gonna fall back a little bit. Your boy, and I guess he's talking about the drug dealers or whatever. I don't know the names, but he wanted to run his disco label and shit. I can't see how they get a third season out of this. But maybe they will. But they just totally, totally jumped the shark. And like I said, the first time I reviewed The Get Down and niggas was getting on me, all of this shit is going to end up being a fucking Jay-Z, Beyonce love story. As the he became the 90s Nas type nigga, and the girl, the Spanish singer, and the Spanish singer is the Beyonce of her day, and they're gonna be together. I mean, I get it. I know you gotta sell the story, but it's the technical things that had me fucked up.
About niggas, whoever they had paying attention to the technical details did not give a fuck.
No.
If they had anybody paying attention to
it. No, at that point, once they jumped the shark, they was like, yo, get these authenticator niggas the fuck out of here.
Why would I give these niggas regular mics so they could be tripping all over the stage over each other? Oh, we need them to have space, so just give them fucking cordless mics. Who was paying attention to that shit?
And the way this nigga was cutting and scratching, I'm like, they didn't have that since 78, yo. It was ridiculous. But that's a long story short. So I have a long history of technical shit in movies that fuck with me. And I'm going to run through a quick list. If you start with Wild Styles in 83 as the top.
You got something to say.
And still the best. But technically, there's some things that I just, in all rap related movies, as a young guy, I'm coming up and I'm seeing shit. It was Break It in 1984. Which, you know, you got fucking Krista Glove Taylor and Ice-T up in that bitch. Now, Southern California, and this nigga got a leather bomber on. Technically, I'm like, yo, I know at that point leather bombers is the joint. We was rocking the bombers ourselves, but we lived on the East Coast and it was cold as winter.
30 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm seeing that shit, as well as the quick video clip of Chris Rock in that movie too, yo. It's crazy. But anyway, so, you know, shout out to that. Beach Street in 84.
It continues.
Wow.
When your boy...
This definitely... Pick anything in this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, your boy Beach Street, I mean, you could pick a lot of shit, yes. But the technical part that got me was when your boy Double K is in his bedroom with Ray Don Chong, and he got these particular technique straight arms that came with the factory needle, and he's cutting. Yo, I knew a dude. I knew a dude that had them turntables, and cutting was not something that you're going to do. Technically, I'm like, somebody should have been paying attention to that shit.
Nigga, you got me bugging over here. The way you said that shit sound like a fucking Asian porno name. You said Ray Dong Chong.
That's who it was. So, you know, so, or however you pronounce that, my apologies to the actress.
You said it right. You got it right.
So, anyway, considering he had 1200s when they hooked up the party from the light pole. So, I'm just saying, you know, it technically had me fucked up. It's always technical thing. Which brings us to rapping. In 1985, just a total horrendous movie to begin with, but
it was horrendous.
It was absolutely horrendous. Not really, I mean, just from a technical, but the movie was bad anyway. But shout out to Ice-T and the Force MDs. Itching for a Scratch is probably the best performance in the entire movie. other than that, you see a young Ice-T trying to get his shit together. So, you know. then it comes to Crush Groove in 85.
Not damn, Crush Uh-oh. Groove too?
Nigga. Uh-oh. So the only thing you say about that, technically, it's fucking Chilla E. I mean, I get it. High yellow, fine. I mean, I get it. It's 85. You gotta put that in a movie. But come on, man. Chilla E had nothing to do with hip hop. But she's in the movie playing Run's love interest. Or Russell or whoever the fuck was.
So technically, what's the problem with that? They were acting.
She was high yellow.
Sheila E.
B. No, yes.
Her character was.
No, you said it. The technical part is that they could have got any B girl, but I know she wasn't a star, and Sheila E. played Sheila E. I mean, she's in that motherfucker playing Sheila E. records. You know what I mean?
That's because she wasn't gonna get a whole lot of money.
Hey, she's like, I need this promo, nigga.
So anyway, right. but you know, but that's technically. And then it comes down to 1992 Juice. The battle scenes were a split second where you see your boy Omar Epps, he's cutting, but the tone arm ain't even on the record. Just for a split second.
You got the juice now.
Wow.
But all that being said, shout out to DJ Scratch, who actually did all the real cutting in the movie and shit, where they threw the stars in there. That motherfucker cutting up Pump Me Up by Trouble Funk with Def Jam labels on the wheel and shit. Come on, son. Def Jam didn't put that record out.
Tell him who put it out, sir.
There was a local label called TEDD out of Landover, Maryland, who put that shit out, my
DMV
nigga.
DMV stand
yo,
up.
Yo, please let's stand up,
they
yo.
They wasn't getting no money off of that.
So, matter of fact.
They made up for it, though, in the next movie, right? Then
so, Swerve, you might get a picture of that.
Sardines, pork, and beans.
Junkyard, nigga.
Okay. But they wasn't cutting up Junkyard, yo. They was cutting up, you know, Pump Me Up and shit. And it Def Jam Records was on the turntable. So I'm just
God, yo,
I might send you may have to post that, my nigga. So
then I will.
Yo, so anyway, yo, shout out to, you know, that, to me, yo, when I see shit like this, yo, I'm always gonna come from a technical standpoint, little nitpicky shit that fucks with me with movies, and that's why I'm not a movie head to begin with.
And music. From the beginning, you got on that Kendrick for the technical shit.
Yeah, I did. That's what I said. This episode is going to be technical and shit. And actually, quickly, let me give you a quick story. I watched this shit. It's I believe it's on HBO and shit or whatever. Shout out to Cody. This shit called Vinyl. So it's about this fictitional 70s record label or the people who run the label. It's basically about this guy. He's running around. Yo, he's snorting crazy coke. But in any case, it's the late 70s.
White light.
Yeah, so it's like the mid to late 70s. It's set in at the beginning of punk rock, at the beginning of hip hop, at the beginning of, you know, modern, you know, post disco music and everything. And he's sort of at the forefront of all these movements. Anyway, to make a long story short, technically, I'm watching this shit and he hears Kool Herc DJing and he wants to know what the fuck is going on, but that's all you really see about Herc. And then later on in the series, Herc is explaining to him how he developed this thing called the merry-go-round, and from what I know of Herc, until late in Herc's career, he didn't even use a mixer. But again, technically, people just, you know, knowing or thinking what they know about hip-hop and trying to use that as an extension of some other agenda. But anyway, it's a shit called Vinyl. It's only one season. They're not going to renew it, but I thought it was pretty interesting. So that's just my quick story.
Well, Dan, since we're telling stories, can I get one in real quick?
My nigga, go in.
So over here in LA on Melrose, there's these alleys behind the main road, right? On the south of Melrose, there's an alley, and on the north side, there's an alley. And so one day I was going somewhere to get some coffee and shit, and I'm walking through the alley. I'm looking at it's like an art museum, like a graffiti museum, right?
Wow,
right.
Beautiful pieces. I'm not talking about tags. I'm talking about beautiful pieces of graffiti through the whole alley. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna bring my camera and take pictures of these joints. So I started doing that, and I got to this one piece where it was there was Tupac, big mural of Tupac, and then on the side on the other wall it had lyrics from So Many Tears. So I'm trying to like get the best picture I can get of it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's incredible, right? But there's all these cars in the way. So I tried to get to the side and I saw this white car, right? It was running and I saw the people in it, but I was like, yo, I gotta get this picture. So the dude rolled down the window, was like, yo, you wanna get a better picture when the cars ain't here? I was like, yeah. So my man's like, come back tomorrow before 11 and you know, it won't be no cars here. So I was like, cool. And then he tells me, yo, I did that piece.
Wow.
I was like, wow. It was crazy. So he gave me his card and shit. I told him, hey, we might be talking about you this week on this show. Because, you know, I posted the pictures of the wall. But it was like, it was just crazy, man. He got some good art on his website, too.
Oh, man.
Mike Norris. N-O-R-I-C-E. Mike Norris. Something like that. But check him out. It's dope.
Shout out.
Thank you for acknowledging the one of the original pillars of hip-hop. The yes. art aspect. Which
yes, sir.
Doesn't get covered enough. And before we get out of here, y'all want to give a shout out, yo, to somebody who's been down with us, sent us a nice letter, T-Bear 183.
Damn, that's a blast from the past.
Son, in a minute, right?
Yo, T-Bear said he's been down since show 10. Shout out to Potomatic. Yo, that's 11 years ago. So, yo, it was good to hear from T-Bear, yo.
No shouts to Potter, Mac. Yo, they fucked us, yo.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm still, we let them.
Yeah, we did. We did let them screw us.
Yeah, no doubt. And anyway, quickly, we want to give a shout out to Bagari Black. I also want to give a shout out to Code Switch McGee, who basically he said that Joey Badass situation, you know, the Joey Badass situation, we're not going to do a percentage on that, but just quickly, you know, I did scan the album. Again, yo, once you get these majors involved, yo, they'll fuck up a ham sandwich, yo.
Why always got to be a ham sandwich, though, nigga?
Oh, what do you want it to be?
How about a turkey on brioche?
Okay, there you go.
That would be pretty fucked up. They fucked that up. That's bad.
So they fucked up a turkey on brioche sandwich when
they said that shit.
When it comes to the Joey Badass album. And basically, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, you had a dirty underground sound of ODB's first album, right?
Right.
And then when he put out that album, Nigga Please, had all this slick production and shit. That's kind of like Joey Badass, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it isn't a good record. I mean, he's got one record up there that I really am feeling. What's the name of that shit? Super Predator featuring Styles P. I love that record. But all that being said, I mean, the most of the album is just a slick production. It's real clean. Gone are the jazz loops and the dirty samples.
Static Selecta.
I mean, he's got one or two beats up there. But for the most part, that shit is super clean and super, you know, I guess it's young boy eligible.
You're right, because the production is clean. Damn, these days it's all computer based.
I'm saying, what's wrong with being clean?
I mean, I'm just telling you that the aura of what Joey Badass meant to us when we first heard him
over dirty production,
over dirty jazz loops and shit like that, and now it's so fucking professional and so slick, and you know the whole presentation of him, you know, I don't know, it's for other niggas, it ain't for me. So he went
from the dirty Brooklyn sound to the clean Mr. Robot shit.
Yeah, for the most part, to be dead ass with you, you know, it's just that's all I'm saying, you know. And not that ODB didn't have, I guess, good records on Nigga Please, but it wasn't his first album, so you know, that's what's up.
It wasn't the RZA, huh?
So all right, so you know how we do. It's Kerr G's world famous albums of the week.
Alright. This week we got Frank Nitt, Distinguished Curse Words. That's Frank Nitt, Distinguished Curse Words. And we got Focus the Truth Q85. That's Focus the Truth Q85. And instrumental joint is World Around Records. We Are World Around Volume 6.
Alright. That's what's up. Anybody got any shout outs? Anything left over?
I'll give a shout out to everybody that listened to us. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the people that put us on their websites and podcasts and radio shows. All of that.
That's what's good.
Yeah, it's too many to name. Way too many.
Yes.
So, well, like we always
get
you all.
Yeah. Can I get a King Killer question in?
Oh, what?
Any comments on Mr. Hernandez in that situation?
Oh my God, oh, nigga.
B, we just talked about that nigga last week.
Can you believe that shit?
That shit's crazy, B.
Yo.
I guess he's getting out now, huh?
He got out. He got out.
He's out.
Yeah. He got out the hard way. That's for damn sure. I don't have any comments on that. You know, obviously when the news broke, yo, I was flabbergasted considering we just talked about the kid on the show. So, you know.
Yeah, that and that kid it was that shot that old man. It's like, what in the world, bro?
Oh, nigga.
That shit was crazy, B.
We would take a whole nother show. Yeah. That shit was fucked up. I'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace. One.
Echelon, my repertoire. These wannabe trap niggas is reppin' wrong. Consecutive lessons from Reverend John. The God MC don't listen to secular songs. Cream of the crop, top of the food chain. Shoot at your socks, knock out a shoestring. You a hot pocket with juice stains. Married now, still like a tie knots in a noose, man. Look at my track record, I'm that reckless. King of these rap peasants, they lack presence. To play with the most, I'm going back for seconds. I get the bacon, this toast, scramble them, that's breakfast. They have a hard time keeping it true. Never do what you see, let them see what you do. It's true, I have a hard time keeping it cool. Wanna bust your head open, let them see what you knew. I mean it, that nigga John Jiggs, the hardest out. Get paid in large amounts, what the fuck these dudes talking about? Stalk them out, carve them out, then I chalk them out. Welcome all beef, I'm rolling the red carpet out. Cannibal rap, when animals attack, get ransacked. You can't hold a candle to that. I come through your block like where the cannabis at. Rob the first motherfucker that tried to hand me a sack. I mean it, raw vintage, jigs is authentic. I'm busy being me, no time for an image. I'm in the game, no time for a scrimmage. Burn them down to ash, all you find is the remnants. Nice, I pick up mics and murder beats. Plus a nigga got more bars than Bourbon Street. Bite down in the chrome, I hurt your teeth. Killing everything in my way, this is a murder spree, motherfucker. They bouncing around, look at the fuckery. I'm out for the crown, they can't fuck with me. Strong as an ox, you can't muscle me. Son of these niggas, I got custody. They bouncing around, look at the fuckery. I'm out for the crown, they can't fuck with me. Strong as an ox, you can't muscle me. Son of these niggas, I got custody. Yeah, that's word to mommy, man. These niggas look funny and foolish out here. All that fuck out of here, nigga. That ain't no fucking hip hop, man. Tight ass jeans and shit, man. Niggas got extensions and all that, man. Come on, man. Part of the game is that. Yeah. Long as I live, I promise to keep bringing this real hip hop shit. That neck breaking shit. You heard?
Walking through a bear cave with six hibernating grizzlies in it. Nothing game, four finger, leave your shit all dented. Six classic albums, my shit authentic. Your style's manufactured, that shit all printed. Stomp rappers out with my brand new Adidas on. Nigga, you whack trying to lead us on. Bomb, uppercut, then connect with the elbow. Throw shots at his feet, now he shell toe. Hell no, put some bullets in his beanie. And anybody else, see me when you see me. I'm out here smacking your mom. Sun up to sun.
Alright, see that boy no move right. Dropping me for millions on PD nice. Alright, see that boy videos like. Oh, pick high line. You better think twice. Then boy no move right. Dropping me for millions on PD nice. Alright, see that boy videos like. They come pick high line. You better think twice. Some say the God overreact. Smack a fool fat Joe style, lean back. Y'all seen that.
one hitter quitter. With the brick in my fist, I'm a pitcher splitter. Mariano on my toes, right? I dance on them like Floyd when I throw strikes.
Chill, that's over their head.
Yeah, I know, right? The metaphors flow swift cause they flow tight. And y'all don't really want it in a mic fight. They'd rather pick up their keyboards and type. Suckers love to have an internet fight, but when it's time to meet up, they be like, yeah, that's aight. Now talk about some real hot rocks and watch the guard bust open your snack box. Right in your hood on a real hot block. Now what up with all that tough shit you pop? What you got? Call a cop, do something odd. Another cotton ball fronting like a rock. Get your ass upstairs and keep the door locked, cause the next time I see you, I'ma knock off your block.
Alright, see you that boy no more.
Run back into the arms of a familiar face. It's got a taste to it, bittersweet, my tongue is decayed. I try to say the same shit a million ways. Zombie apocalypse, raise my homies from their graves. And if I ever get away, I swear I'm never coming back. Young fire started burning down everything in my past. Stab myself to death through pieces of broken promises. Making bad choices, overlooking consequence. I'm just a fuck up in the crowd trying to talk my shit. Got a quarter of some wax all aboard my rocket ship. It's time to go to the moon in a room full of goose. You know the usual ugly lifestyle, but my mom says I'm beautiful. Real gone like a pill under the tongue. All eyes were on me, but I was staring at the sun. They say the blind lead the blind, but I'm not standing in that line. I'm about to lace them up and leave them all behind. These are my tears, these are my joys. Down to my last breath, this is my voice. These are my songs, dadgammit, my right, my wrong. My soul, my only, my all. These are my tears, these are my joys. Down to my last breath, this is my voice. These are my songs, dadgammit, my right, my wrong. My soul, my only, my all. Two hands on a wishbone, I'll let you keep the bigger piece. My life's been a war path, I'm marching towards a victory. Up and down lifestyle, I tasted all, it's bittersweet. I'm just trying to learn from my history, never make the same mistake. Butterfingers trying to catch a break, impatiently waiting for a payday. They say hip-hop died, I poured liquor at a gravesite. But I heard rumors she faked the death through the grapevine. The devil tried to buy my soul, told her it would cost a tea. Parted with a perfect smile, made it home safely, thankfully. Trying to touch goals that I aim to reach, one of a kind. You ain't the same as me, but God knows I feel like my life's at a crossroads. Do I chase dreams or let them all go? The road of life can come with a couple potholes, but I ain't stressing, exhaling all this pot smoke. These are my tears, these are my joys. Down to my last breath, this is my voice. These are my songs, dadgammit, my right, my wrong. My soul, my only, my all. These are my tears, these are my joys. Down to my last breath, this is my voice. These are my songs, dadgammit, my right, my wrong. My soul, my only, my all.
These are my tears.
One time for your mind. Mr. Murray once again, uncontrollable, keeping it jiggy, you know what I'm saying? Ice, strictly ices. Check me out, check it out. Now for next a little or nothing, I'll be ripping up every function with scientific madman consumptions, with mass production of mass conjunctions. I display ways of MC destruction. Cause ain't nothing better than the shit I got. Making niggas jump off the roof is rooftop. I put the hip and hop in the don't and stop in the clip and clock. Then I rock box your block. My hypothesis on this is you niggas better come to terms with my vocabulary quick or get dissed. My brain bleeds mental complex needs. Bring it on, kid, I got exactly what you need. Twisted metaphors and get your ass in Star Wars. I'ma live forever like Bob Marley just because. The mad matador of metaphor flips the hardcore for him and his, them and theirs, you and yours. And it bees like that sometimes, cause I can't control the rhyme. I said it bees like that sometimes, cause I can't control the rhyme. I keep the jiggy, 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 jiggy. We keep it wiggy, 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 wiggy. Cause it be jiggy, 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 jiggy. And it be wiggy, 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 wiggy. The most beautifulest vocabulist be punching them 40 MCs dead in their esophagus. My analysis is roughening calluses. You better practice if you wanna challenge this. I'm symbolic to the sun, moon, and stars. You're getting knocked out the box no matter who you are. No matter the funk, fat tracks, lures you to listen. As my vocals bend your brain up in a fetal position. Learn a quick lesson of mic aggression. So when I walk down the street, there'll be no second guessing. Now you can walk the walk, talk the talk, back burners all day. But you're still fireproof like an ashtray. I'm a scientist in the mix like clicks. Turning all you fly MCs back in the maggots. Top prop saw you. Watch me bubble and boil you. Keep it grand royal while you fold like foil. And it bees like that sometimes, cause I can't control the rhyme. I said it bees like that sometimes, cause I can't control the rhyme. I keep the jiggy, 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 jiggy. We keep it wiggy, 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 wiggy. Cause it be jiggy, 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 jiggy. And it be wiggy, 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 wiggy. I put
played the many thousand rows of street life. Showed Houdini that the freaks come out in broad daylight. Me and my crew be tight like Laverne and Shirley, rolling through all y'all hoods, pulling all y'all fly girlies. MC's always bitching, that just make my style hard. I roll with nobody but God and the squad. Me and my troops be knocking niggas out the size of Zeus, letting the OJ juice loose with fat tracks, ED with juice. And it bees like that sometimes.